Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed?
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Wednesday night. It's a beautiful night here in Las Vegas. Thank you so much for joining in. You are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I am your host, Jose V. EMB up in the studio with me as well. Quan 5'9 behind the big board doing what he does for us every single Wednesday night. We are coming to you live from the wonderful and amazing Gorilla Cross Radio Studios here in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. If you haven't already done so, please download the Gorilla Cross app as you see it telling you right there on the screen below on the ticker. Go on the Google Play Store, on the Apple App Store. It's completely free. You can download it. Lots of content on there, not just our shows, but all the other shows that they do on there. So trust me, go ahead and check them out. And of course, GorillaCross.com. We are live on all Gorilla Cross platforms that you want to watch us on, YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook. Just search up a Gorilla Cross and you can definitely find us there. I don't know what's going on with me tonight, fellas. I'm stumbling, I'm tripping, I'm mumbling. I don't know what's going on. But look, as I do every night, I sound like a broken record on Wednesday nights, but it's part of the script. You got to read it. You got to let it be known. If you guys are watching this, do what I ask you to do every single Wednesday night. Drop that like. Drop that comment. drop that comment. Press that share. And we'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you are tuned in tonight and watching. We greatly appreciate you. But Ian, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good.
You excited about tomorrow?
A little less nervous than you are.
I know, but you know what? I'm a little nervous because I got some people in the studio that we're going to talk about here in a minute, which is the first time they've been in the studio. One of them is visiting us from a very, far place, a little longer from where we live. But we'll get into that here shortly. But we also have a return guest back in studio. Our good friend here, Brett Lawson, joining us back in studio. My guy, what's good?
Yes, sir, man. Triumphant return. And I was honored to be invited back. Did not hesitate at all. Can't wait. And we were just talking before we went live. So much has happened since we were all together here, all four of us, last week in the studio. So lots to cover, lots has progressed, lots has evolved, lots has transpired, and we'll get into just about all of it tonight.
We got a fun show, man. And not only that, I've had a lot of people that have been hitting me up when it comes to the whole Brett situation. We'll just leave it at that. Not the Brett we have in studio. We like the Brett that's in studio. He's nice to us. But the whole Brett situation, I've had a lot of people hitting me up. The last game they had at home, I will leave this person anonymous out of respect. I got a picture sent to me, and they said, "Where's the electric company?" The whole stands, hundreds of people, seats completely empty. And this is one of the supporter groups that's supposed to be there supporting this team, right? Mm-hmm. And has been since day one. That's one. Also, what's going on with you and Brett? I'm like, oh, so it's being talked about. Like everywhere I go, and I know people that know me, they ask me about that. Hey, what's going on with the whole Brett situation? What's up with you and the lights? Is it a light situation?
And that's why I'm happy I'm here a week later, because I get to see the fallout. And like anybody who does know both of us, I'm like, no, he's not talking about me.
Correct.
I'm just kind of on the sidelines. I'm a fly on the wall for this. Yeah.
He just happens to have the same name as the individual that we're talking about. Now, again, we're not bashing anyone, if I'm being honest. I'm just speaking truths. Now, the truths are going to be spoken here later on tonight, because I have a DM that was sent to me, and this is the first that I've ever heard of an owner mistreating season ticket holders. Let's just leave it at that. I have the proof. I have the individual. I have all of that. So it's not hearsay, as we've been hearing in the Johnny Depp trial. Every time somebody tries to say something, hearsay. Excuse me, what? Can I speak? Can I answer your question?
How timely.
Exactly. Right. How timely.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that later tonight, man. And I appreciate everyone that understands the situation and has taken my side and has hit me up and called me, man. Appreciate all you guys. But anyways, we got a lot to talk about tonight. But before we do so, I want to give a special shout out to a guest and of two guests that we have in the studio. They're right behind us right now. They're joining us in studio. They're having a little conversation. My dad is joining us here in studio. He flew in from Miami today, flew in LA, and then drove from LA out here to Las Vegas. He's gonna hang out with us for the weekend, man. Tomorrow, my pops turns 82 years old. Silvio Volonte, I love you, Pop. You helped bring me into this world. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing. And of course, my mom's is in the studio hanging out with us too, man. So it's a special moment. First time my parents have ever been in the studio watching me do what it is that I love to do behind the mic and with the people that, you know, I do it with here all the time, man. So I greatly appreciate you guys being here with us tonight. And Mom and Dad, thank you so much for being here. Dad, I love you so much. Happy 82nd birthday. I hope you enjoy yourself while you're here. I know I'm looking back. 82 years old, man, I'm telling you. And he drove from LA by himself after flying in from Miami. That's insane. But he said it doesn't matter because the Miami Heat won, and that's all he cares about. He's a big Miami Heat fan. So he's like, that's all that matters.
It's all good.
It's all good in the hood. But Pops, congratulations. Happy birthday. Love you, man. We'll be having a good time this weekend. But fellas, we got a lot to talk about. But before we do so, let's pay some bills. You already know what it is. Joshua LaFon hooking us up here on Gorilla Cross Radio. We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask, to help ensure making their home ownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533. That's right, Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate hooking us up here on Straight Bet Sports, allowing us to come to you live every single Wednesday night on Gorilla Cross Radio. We greatly appreciate him and his sponsorship. Going on 2 years, man. Crazy stuff. I keep saying it every week, but it's amazing. I was sitting at home the other night before we get into the topics, just go off topic real quick. I was sitting at home the other night and it was late night and I stay up late. I'm a night owl. The wife is asleep. Everybody's out. And I start going through my YouTube, right? Because I post all the shows. You know, once again, if you guys want to see any of the old shows, Jose V Straight Bet Sports, all of them are on YouTube. But I was going through a lot of the videos and I started thinking, I'm like, we've done a lot here. Like I, and I'm not tooting my horn. That's why I say we. It's not me. It's not about what I've done. It's about what we've been able to accomplish here as a show. You know, we're going on 2 years. I brought you in a couple months back after, you know, Rob is no longer with us here on the show. But I was looking at all the guests that we've had, the sponsorships that we've gone through, the people that we spoke to, the controversy that we've had, the fun, you know, the ups, the downs. And it's been a fun ride, man. If I'm being honest with you, it's been a fun ride. We're only growing as we're going. I appreciate all of the fans is what I can call that now. Because before, we didn't have fans. We had just started. You know, we're media people trying to do our things, trying to get our feet wet. Again, you and I, KSHP, you know, where we started there. And we, like you said, we figured it out from there. And we came to be what we are now, what we're doing now. And I want to say thank you to everyone. You know, you're a part of the show now. You've been here going on two times. You're a big part of the show. You know that. I joke with you all the time and I say you're my executive producer because I can hit this guy up literally an hour before the show and I've been busy all week. What are we talking about today? And I will get a giant list of everything and what's going on and we'll create a show log. So I appreciate you, my guy.
No problem.
Not only that, because you came in last minute. You weren't part of the show. You were hitting me up for years, and it happened. It just so happened I had a spot. You came through, so I appreciate that. And of course, man, the guy that makes it all happen, Quan, you know what I mean? If it wasn't for Gorilla Cross, if it wasn't for this studio, we wouldn't be able to grow and have the viewership that we have now, the people that we have following us, and the sponsorship once again. You know what I mean? I have to throw that out there because if there's anyone that is looking to do any type of sponsorship or has ever thought about it, man, hit me up on the DM on any social medias. If not, email me, straightbetsports@outlook.com. We're still looking for sponsors. This ride is not over. We have just got started, and trust me, we're going to have a lot of fun. There's a lot of things coming up. I just want to say thank you to all of the guests that we've had in the past. And this is not to toot my own horn or to try to talk anything like that, but we've had class people here. We've had Chaos Williams, up-and-coming UFC welterweight. We've had Edgar Berlanga on the show.
Which was big.
Big. Yeah. Future, hopefully, you know, super middleweight champ there. I mean, we've had college basketball players. We have college coaches. We've had it all.
Prominent local media. You've had news anchors, everything. Talk show hosts, personalities.
Yes.
Yep.
You name it, we've done it. We've tried to switch it up on every type of aspect. We try to get people in the studio. And the one thing that I will give credit to Quan, because he told me this from day one when I signed here and I was going to be here. If you're going to get guests, try to get them in studio.
Always.
Try to get them in studio. Yeah. And you know what? It's true. You have people in studio, You just have fun. You enjoy
it.
It's a whole lot.
Energy.
Exactly. Completely different energy.
And you got the downtown Vegas vibe. That's one cool thing about the show and just the network at whole. Yep. You know, we don't limit ourselves by, I mean, I say ourselves. You guys don't limit yourselves through that local lens, but you also stick to your roots. You also emphasize you are in Vegas. You're in the hub of downtown. You're right around the corner from something always going down. Yep. And the fact that even now is like a later hour, that kind of adds the appeal too. So it has that national appeal, but also that Vegas focus. So,
definitely.
And I urge you, anybody working local media, local sports fans, sports bettors, come down if you ever can to check out the studio, whether you know Quan, Jose, Ian, come check it out. It's pretty damn sweet.
And if anyone out there that's thinking about doing a podcast or has just thought about possibly inquiring about how it works, same thing, man. Hit up Quan. You can find him on social media. Trust me, he's not that hard to find. This is the place to be. I'm being 100% honest with you. Like, I am so grateful and thankful that we chose this spot and we came here because it's completely different. We've seen the Fox Sports, the Lotus broadcasts.
Right.
No disrespect, not talking bad. But we've seen the differences of AM, FM radio to what we're doing
here.
I'm sorry, what Quan is doing here. It's completely different.
Yeah, there's an aspect that you get with digital that you just can't. We talked about it last week, even that accessibility, and you really get it here.
So, guys, the NFL draft is in our backyard, gentlemen.
Talking shop.
Tomorrow.
It's going to be tomorrow. Fun times. I'm glad we brought Brett in the studio because obviously we were talking about it before the show.
Mm-hmm.
New York Jets, New York Giants. Jets, Giants are, I believe, 4 and 5 when it comes to picking in the draft order. Jets and Eagles, Ian and I, both have 2 picks in the first top 20, which is going to be very interesting there to see what these teams and what these moves are going to be made. Obviously, we've heard a lot of noise as well of who's going to go number one. Is it Thibodeau, right? Is it Hutchinson? Is it the kid
Walker
from Georgia now?
Walker.
You know what I mean? Everybody's talking about the kid from Georgia.
Talking about Walker.
And then people are saying maybe not Hutchinson. Maybe he goes backseat, goes second to Detroit, stays home.
Yep.
Hometown hero type of thing. I don't know how all that's going to happen, if I'm being honest with you. I still believe that Hutchinson is going to be the number one guy that gets chosen. But at the same time, if we're being honest, Jacksonville has to protect their investment. And what I mean by that, you have to draft offensive line. Am I being honest here or am I being wrong?
I was just going to say that actually might be the earliest surprise. However, it wasn't a surprise like a couple months ago. Everyone a couple months ago was talking about how Evan Neal was pretty much the projected first overall pick.
Walk away. Yeah.
Exactly, easily. And then, you know, with the whole, you know, Michigan and everything happening in the the tournament.
Hutchinson caught major steam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hutchinson,
you mean the playoffs?
Playoffs.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah,
we're all stumbling.
Yeah. Hutchinson just went off. And everyone started saying, oh, he's easily the best player in this
draft.
Was
up for the Heisman. Yeah,
exactly.
A lot of traction.
But I agree with you, Jose. I think that Evan Neal could be there. Cross, if they like Cross more. I wouldn't even say Kwanu is out of the picture right there. So I think Jax could easily be the first ones to kind of like shake up what everyone thought. But this draft is kind of unprecedented.
Yeah.
Because you ask any of the pundits, you ask any of the analysts, and nobody knows what, especially in the top 10, let alone the top 20, nobody knows what these teams are doing.
And it's so ironic, too, because a big concern, just in general, like attraction to the draft for the fan appeal, a lot of people thought that the lack of quote-unquote star power would hurt it. You know, it's a draft that's big on, I guess you could say, cake rather than icing, and steak rather than sizzle, substance rather than flash. And a lot of times for those drafts, they just aren't as sexy, quote-unquote. But now here we are, and there's such a well-rounded base, particularly on the offensive and defensive line, in the front seven. You have some steals hidden in certain parts in these first and second round projections. Their names just don't have that type of flash. And a lot of these guys, much like what we just talked about with Aiden Hutchinson, really distance themselves throughout the second half of the year and throughout the bowl season. So when you have that element, you just talked about it with Walker taking on a lot of traction. He was obviously had a magnificent season, but Jordan Davis got most of the highlights for the Georgia defensive front.
Not to mention, it's kind of hard to just say, oh, Walker was the cornerstone of that defensive line, because you had Quay Walker, you had Davis,
in the country,
you had Wyatt.
Yep.
So you had absolutely stacked front end and back end at Georgia.
Who whooped up on Alabama, who never really gets punched in the mouth.
Exactly.
That's what's so nuts about it. Yeah.
So you have a lot of that is like, it's kind of hard to, I don't think that Walker is going to go as high as people think.
I don't think so either.
I do think that Walker is going to slip a little bit. I still think he's top 10, but I think Walker is going to slip a little bit. However, like it's very interesting that you said, like, a lot of people are saying, like, this draft isn't as good. There are going to be a lot of late rounds that are steals, but there's, I'd say the floor is what falls out in this class.
That's a great way to phrase it. Yeah,
because this draft is extremely talented. I mean,
deep too.
You look at the wide receivers, and almost all of them, especially deep, are running sub-4.4s and sub-4.3s. They're very fast. So you have talent in this draft, but the floor after, I would say, mid-second round just drops out in a lot of these position values. Now,
and that's what's going to be interesting, the strategy there and knowing how much of each crop are left. Because when you look at, like, the big board, whether it be the graphics or whatever, every year in the draft, you kind of always have that reminder. And even going into certain drafts that are more stacked, you know just off the back of your mind who's there. This has a little bit more of a management type of thing. Even if you're just sitting there as a fan of the Eagles, the Giants, the Jets, you kind of have to gauge everything more because there may not be those selections available in just about an hour amount of time.
We're going to be seeing a lot of scheme fit. Scheme fit picks.
And I wouldn't surprise me if they really, I know they a few years ago they wanted to, like, kind of, you know, push people in terms of getting that pick out of there, not losing that 10 minutes. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot of clubs using that full 10 minutes on the phone tomorrow.
The first and second draft rounds this tomorrow are most tomorrow and Friday are most likely going to be very aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like teams are going to say, I want that guy, I'm going to go get him. I want that guy, I'm going to.
And that could give us the storylines we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Once again, you're tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. So obviously, we cannot get through every single draft pick. We can't get through every single analysis. We only have an hour show. We're trying to get to a lot more sports topics. So we're going to try to get to the most. But if I'm being honest with you, it's one of two things here. It either has to be defense or it has to be the offensive line. When it comes to Jacksonville, in the last two seasons, 50 sacks total overall, tied for second fewest during the league in that span. This is going from a defensive team that we saw almost make the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles.
Yep.
Think about that, okay? And now we're talking about, what are they going to draft? How are they going to get this fixed? To me, it's one of two things. You either go Hutchinson or you go Neal. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
You have to go either or, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if you don't go Hutchinson, you go Thibodeau or something. Yeah. You have to go some kind of edge rusher, especially with Chaisson, who they drafted just a couple years ago at LSU, hasn't looked so sharp. So you need to solidify that pass rush early on.
Real quick before we get into like who we would like our teams to pick, with that, with Jacksonville picking the offensive line, one thing to note is that Pearson is now the coach, and Pearson does value offensive line higher than some coaches around the league.
As we saw the Eagles with the Super Bowl, but they dominated the trenches both sides of the ball.
So then that makes sense. We might end up seeing Hutchinson go number two, because if we have a coach in Pearson that likes offensive linemen and wants to solidify that part of the ball, knowing that he has a second-year guy and Lawrence, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting the name, definitely it's gonna be huge on the offensive line. I think that they should go there, obviously. So we got Detroit second. We got Houston Texans number three. We obviously know Houston needs everything. Mm-hmm. Every single part of that organization needs a whole just tune up completely. Now, we have the New York Jets. We'll talk briefly about my team right here. We'll talk about what they need. Obviously, they need to get from out underneath of the AFC, because they are one of the worst teams, and not only their division, but in all of the AFC and in all of football in general. They have to figure it out. A lot of people have them drafting Sauce Gardner, which I like the name, from Cincinnati. Yeah.
Who had a stellar year.
They always go defense or not offensive line. I remember when I was younger, Nick Mangold years.
Yep.
I'm spacing on the other dude, the Hawaiian guy, Kevin Mawai.
Yeah.
Like, they always went huge on solidifying their offensive line.
So much was based on Curtis Martin, too. They actually had a power running game with Bill Parcells going back to, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. Then they kind of lost their way.
And even when Ryan was there, they stuck to the ground and pound. Because that's what worked for them. They had the offensive line. So if I'm being honest, if you're going to tell me that Zach Wilson is your future, you have to give me one or two things in this draft. Mm-hmm. Either an offensive lineman to solidify a little more help for him, or you need to give him a wide receiver.
And we saw Mekhi Becton, how he looked before the injury as a rookie. So if you keep building on that, Zach Wilson has shown to be much more of an athlete than I think a lot of people projected him to be. So I think off of that alone, finding that calm stride that you want to find in your sophomore year, you're not going to get that without protection. I think it's imperative the Jets go offensive.
I think they'll go with Sauce Gardner, though, because of the coach.
Oh,
because
right.
of Sun. Because he's a defensive minded guy.
He wants to make
a splash. Because of the slack he got this season when people were saying, your defense is trash and you're supposed to be a defensive guy.
Yeah.
I think he goes after a guy like Sauce Gardner.
Although Zach Wilson, correct me if I'm wrong, he did have an MCL sprain last
year. Yeah, he did get banged, already, he did get banged right? up.
So he got banged up. Your offensive line did look a little bit sloppy. Now, I don't know who your coach is, so I don't know if that's something that he's good at coaching up. But I would go offensive line here. I agree with you. I'm feeling like there's going to be a defensive pick there. But I would take Charles Cross or Kwon Yu there if they're there. If they're there. If Evan Neal goes
earlier
than right. that. So.
And again, guys, if you're tuned in, 608-3259, 702-608-3259 is the phone number if you guys want to give us a call and talk about the topics that we're talking today, or just give us your thoughts on anything else that you might want our thoughts on. Definitely give us a call. If not, chime in on all things social media. I do have the chat app up, so I can definitely see everything going on here. Big shout out to Mo from Girl Chat Sports. She says, what up, Straight Bet? They did their show earlier today, and Mel was live from the link, so you can see the whole backdrop of everything that was going on, which is pretty cool. Kev Ray says, what's up, Straight Bet? Appreciate you chiming in. He's Miss Ball and D, No Plays Off Sports Talk here on Gorilla Cross Radio as well. And Goose Thomas from Let the Ball Bounce, also here on Gorilla Cross Radio, says, Straight Bet Sports Talk, nice to me, my guy. What's up, my guy? Appreciate you chiming in as you do every single week. Frank Greco, Primo Eddie, everyone that chimes in on social media, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, we greatly appreciate you guys. But gentlemen, the draft is going to be interesting, and not just because of the possibility of who can go where.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The biggest thing Kwon was even saying earlier, the whole possible trade with Debo and the 49ers. Can we see a possible draft day trade? You and I were talking about that earlier. I say yes. I honestly believe that tomorrow, if not tomorrow, maybe Friday, because it's first, second rounds, right? But I feel it more tomorrow. I have a feeling we will see some type of trade tomorrow that is going to be not expected. And now, it may be the individual we're expecting, but not the team we're expecting.
And I like that because that's what, if I think we see a trade, it will be a player for draft capital rather than swapping picks. A lot of people, like, every year want to force that. Who's going to swap picks with who? I don't think we're going to see that. No. I think we're going to see teams try to use leverage with a Debo Samuel type of guy who may threaten to hit the market and get as much as they can out of that.
So look, I know you're going to say something, but my Jets brother, Frank Greco, he chimes in on Facebook. He goes, Jets will probably take a kicker at number four.
Man.
Now he's going to be sweating bullets.
With Woody Johnson as the owner, bro, I would not be surprised.
He sounds like an Eagles fan.
He would probably draft a water boy, but what were you going to say, bro?
So I was actually going to say, I like that a lot, and there's rumors that Eagles are one of those teams that is constantly right now calling everyone, seeing where they can move up to.
Okay.
Because I do think that with two very close picks that there's a chance that with like 15 or 18, like they're going to use that. Plus, like you said, like I could see moving from 15 to like 6 with like Andre Diller.
And we saw how last year moving up pulled off for him.
Which he stepped in a couple times and he looked like he could be maybe not like an elite tackle, but at least a serviceable starter.
Someone you could put in.
That
right
you could
away.
Put in. So I could see that, you know, trading 15, Dillard, maybe a couple of picks around there. But I do think that a lot of these trades are going to have one or two players in those trades
that could
move up.
That could really shake things
especially
up.
Especially with the way that contracts are going around
the league. Yes, because so much is on the line. It could be a volatile situation. And the Eagles, as of late, have been more aggressive. Some teams have been so stagnant, so afraid to do anything. Philadelphia is not one of them. We saw what they did last year being very aggressive with Devontae Smith going up to get him at 6. That paid dividends, and he's probably going to be that much better moving forward.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and the potential's there. All the flashes are there. So, and then the Giants, in the wake of that, getting Kadarius Toney, so much of what's going to happen tomorrow and even really Friday, we will see really just be a counterpunch of what teams did right before them, especially if it's a division rival.
So the Carolina Panthers, obviously we all know that they're desperate to find an answer at quarterback because they haven't had one since Cam Newton. We know they have PJ Walker, crowd favorite, you know, from the XFL. Yep. You know, glad that he's there. At least he's got a job. But that's pretty much it, man. Sam Darnold, we know, is not the guy. We saw what he was with Christian McCaffrey and without him after those four games.
Yeah.
Completely different quarterback. He wasn't the same guy. The analysts out there, some people have the first quarterback possibly coming off the board, which is also a topic of conversation that we were going to get into about who could possibly be the first quarterback taken and how soon, right? A lot of people say Malik Willis from Liberty. I didn't watch much tape on the kid, so I don't know too much about him, so I'm not going to lie. Everything I hear he has a lot of upside.
He has the most upside,
from any other quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to
he also has the lowest floor.
No doubt.
And when it comes to NFL ready, though, it's also the other guy that they have him possibly getting picked, Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I believe the more possible NFL now ready guy is Pickett.
Yeah.
Do I believe Pickett will be a long-term solution for someone in the NFL at quarterback? I do not. I honestly don't. So that leads me back to Malik Willis. I don't know much about the kid.
Yeah.
I would have to look more upon him to see what type of film we have out there and how good he really is.
It's kind of a Zach Wilson, Trey Lance type of dynamic. Yes. You may think Zach, like even going in last year at this time, Zach Wilson probably, if you look based off what you saw at BYU, a little bit more pro ready than Trey Lance. In the long run, especially if we find out how San Francisco handles the Garoppolo situation, we may find that Lance just needed a little bit more refinement, a little bit more development in an age where that's all accelerated anyway. Sometimes you just have to wait that 1 year, give him some room to breathe, and you start to see the progressions the next year. So.
And I know we want to give quarterbacks the benefit of the doubt, especially when we're drafting them. However, I think it's a big deal that this is like the first year in a while that none of these quarterbacks, not a single one except maybe Ritter, if you want
yeah.
call that a big school.
Right.
Like none of them are coming from Power Five conferences.
Yeah.
Like they don't look they didn't play great competition. Like Cincinnati is probably the one that played the best competition, but most people would be under a consensus that that's not NFL standards right there.
And
so
it almost feels like 2011, when even though as good as Cam Newton was coming out, like you felt it was premature because you knew the next year with Luck and RG3 and even Matt Barkley at the time at USC, you're all like, this is really just a tease of what's to come next year because all these guys want to stay in school. You almost kind of get that vibe this year because of what you have with Bryce Young, of course, what you have with Stroud at Ohio State. So it's one of those things where you're like, you almost get that taste of them this year, but they're not draft eligible.
So we got some more comments coming in on Facebook. Goose Thomas says, Debo to the Jets for the farm.
Ooh.
Quan says, I'm down for it. And then Danielle talks about Malik Willis. He says he has a live arm.
Yeah.
Kenneth Ramirez chimes in. He says, Matt Rhule brought Pickett to Pitt. They have history. If Panthers take a QB, it's going to be Pickett. I forgot about that connection there, so I can definitely see that happening. Kev Ray just laughing. And then Goose Thomas one more time. Power five means nothing. Can you play football? That means everything.
Well said.
I want to touch base on Goose's comment about power five means nothing. Correct. However, you're going to face more NFL style defenses.
Correct. Yeah.
In the power five. So you're going to get a better glimpse of tape of what they actually can do when it comes to processing, because we
more
are finding
certainty.
A ton of guys. They're talented. I mean, you can say there are people around the league that get drafted that they have great arms. They're a third round pick, they're a fourth round pick, because they're not processing the game as fast as you need it in the NFL. You got to remember, you also are worried about that defensive line. If you're not worried about a defensive line crashing within like 2.5 seconds, maybe less, then we haven't really gotten great film on how you react under pressure. So, and outside of Michigan and Georgia, were there really that many defenses that were just crashing that offensive line on the other side? So
it removes a lot of doubt, because you always get a Khalil Mack out of a Buffalo or a Max Crosby out of an Eastern Michigan. You're going to have guys at the group
absolutely.
Of five schools coming out, but you're going to have to kind of go through a fine-tooth comb a little bit more. So that's why I love the comment, as in it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does in terms of the evaluation, but it doesn't matter if you've already proved you can play.
Not,
and that's
not,
why those guys, you don't have that
I'm
doubt.
Not saying that they're not going to come to the NFL and light it up. I'm just saying that in terms of evaluation, teams have to look at it because – it's kind of like an unknown, incomplete on your film, right? So, like, you can make that pick, but it's a very risky pick because you've never seen them in that atmosphere. So
it's no different than anything else, any other walk of life, any other type of job realm. The higher the competition among your peers, the easier it will be for the masses to trust you.
Goose chimes in one more time. He says, I agree, but if you're a football player, I can show you pro style. Gentlemen, we've come to the midway of the show. Time flies again, like I said, when you're having fun. I'm looking at the screen. Not a lot of good things happen for Las Vegas teams today.
Yeah, not a lot of fun
real quick. But Jose, before we move on, real quick, because it won't take long. Your two picks. You only have two picks. What position? Not players. What positions are you looking at?
I like that.
Okay, so
like
the Jets have two picks. If the Jets keep their two picks, I honestly feel that I'll give you both scenarios. I want them to draft offensive line first, and then a wide receiver.
Okay.
That's honestly what I want. What I feel they're going to do, I think they're going to go Sauce Gardner, and then they'll go O-line if they can find someone available that's still worth it. If they can't find someone with that number 10 pick, I think they'll trade out of it, get some more picks or something that's worth it. If they feel there's offensive linemen that they can still pick up as a project that won't last too long, not a 2-3 year project, someone they can bring in to learn and be ready within a year at two the most. I think that's what's going to end up happening.
All right, Brett.
Offensive and defensive line. The best case scenario would be is at five, you get the best offensive lineman available. I mean, if it is Neal, that would be miraculous. I don't know. Either way, the best offensive line, I like Lindenbaum a lot. Some of these guys that they've even kind of slipped in recent years. And again, for certain positions, the conference also helps. Big offensive linemen, you know, Big Ten, certain conferences, pass rushers, defensive backs, SEC. So that I like. I could trust Iowa offensive linemen, but anyone who's there at five, scoop them up and hold off on the pass rusher, because as much as I like Thibodeau and as much as I think he actually has potential to be the best player in this draft when it's all said and done, I think you could still get him at seven, because I don't think the Panthers are going to go. I'm a big talent over need guy. Yes. If a stud is there, you take him. Don't worry how he fits in. But I don't think Carolina's going to go edge rusher. So if you can make it to five and Thibodeau hasn't left the board, I think there's a good shot that he'll still be there at seven.
So I'm not sure what coach said it, but you can look it up if you don't believe me. What is it? You don't win in this game if you draft by need and not by talent or something like that. Yeah. I don't remember the exact words, but I heard it the other day. When I heard that, I was like, that makes total sense.
One is proactive, the other is reactive, and that's why it makes a big difference.
There's another one where it's draft good players, figure it out later.
Later.
There you go.
And that's proof, the Cincinnati Bengals. Everyone says Sewell. Yeah, yeah. Sure, they didn't win, but you look at what Higgins was able to do.
Brett, you are preaching
to the choir.
It's
unreal.
And I know I'm not trying to take credit. I'm not the only guy that said it. There's people all over the world, media, whatever. But I said it over and over again. You want to call me a fan? Call me a fan. But even as a fan, I know if your number one guy that's your franchise tells you, I want him, he can catch my ball, I want a championship with him,
I set records with him at LSU,
I will do whatever I can to draft that individual, no matter what, because we know what the franchise is about, and Cincinnati did the right thing. But fellas,
and it helped T. Higgins too, because whenever Chase wasn't the main guy, Higgins was looking like one of the best young receivers in the league. It was just a smart move.
I'm thinking for my team, I would like... I hate that it's 3 years in a row, but I would like another wide receiver.
Jesus.
Explosive.
I just, I don't think Rager's it. I think that's a mistake. You kind of need to redo it. Someone to pair with Smith. I like wide receiver. Howie will never do a linebacker. I love linebacker. So since he'll never do that, either D-line or cornerback at that
And you're probably frothing for a receiver. Between Arcega Whiteside and Rieger, probably ready for it, because Smith gave you like a glimpse of what an elite guy could do.
Yeah, and it's been a while since Eagles have had two guys that just have that elite atmosphere to them, where they can catch everything, they can go get everything, they have the speed, they have the intelligence.
Macklin Jackson, maybe.
Exactly. Right. It's been quite a while. Yeah. So, I'm itching for it. I'm excited for tomorrow
night. It'll be fun.
I think there's a real possibility, trade back, trade forward. Howie likes to do a lot of weird things, so it'll be interesting.
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9", up in the studio with our guest co-host, Brett Lawson, joining us here live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. We're at the midway point, gentlemen, so you know what that is, and you know what that means. Our second sponsor here on the show, he is another than my man, my guy, my boy, Eric Navarro from Line 'Em Up by Eric, 702-884-8138. Hit him up on IG at Line 'Em Up by Eric. If not, download the Booksy app today. Book your appointment. Go get your haircut. I'm seeing Eric on Friday. I'm going to get clean cut for the weekend since Pops is in town. He's cutting hair out of Five Star Barbershop off of Ann Simmons and Ann Road. Make sure you hit him up. Let him know Straight Bet Sports, Jose V and EMB sent you. He'll make sure to take care of you. Once again, Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric, we greatly appreciate you and your sponsorship, my guy. But we still got to talk NBA, so I want to get NBA. Absolutely. But real quick, because you sent this to me, and I do need to talk about this, not only because of what happened with your Giants, but because of what also happened here in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
We saw what happened. We got to get through this quick. So we saw what happened with the Raiders, with Ruggs, and obviously with Arnett. Ruggs, the biggest one, obviously, with the whole car crash, the death and all that happened, which was just horrendous. But then now we're seeing the situation with Kadarius Toney, where the Giants are possibly talking about shopping him and trading him because of character issues, right? So after everything we've seen in the last year and a half, 2 years from these drafts, from these players that are coming out, right? And these GMs that are no longer here or GMs that have been switched around. Does that make these GMs think a little more and go, I need to do a little more research. It's not just about football. Is this kid going to ruin his life once he gets into the NFL? You see what I'm saying?
I think a lot of time, in many ways, it's going to depend on the age of that person because so many have different, you know, approaches and strategies given the time period. I think NIL also has a lot to do with it. I'm not against NIL. I'm a proponent for it. But with now more power and more leverage with the athletes, their brand, their team is just going to be that much bigger. So it's going to be a little bit more combustible. So because of that, I think it's going to be approached a little bit more delicately as in the past where it's all like, if it's a glaring red flag, we'll address it. If not, we'll brush it over. We'll do all the Wonderlic scores, all the interviews. And if he can play, he can play. Now I think they may handle it a little bit more nuanced.
I think there's going to be proponents to it. Like, I think they're going to start saying, hey, look, this is our policy. It's a strike and you're out. Type thing. I think that
lower the tolerance.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I think the league just kind of allowing these players to kind of walk all over the organization.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a thing of the past soon. I think that a lot of these organizations are going to start doing contract language to kind of protect against all of that. So, and I do think that the evaluation is going to get there, might go in a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And maybe beyond. Behind the scenes a little bit even and say like, hey, let's reach out to some of their friends. Let's kind of like talk to them, see how they are off of the field. Because of course, when you have someone in front of them, they're going to be like, oh yeah, I do this.
And for quarterbacks, so. I know we got to go to break. The days of the quarterback wearing the ball cap and holding the clipboard on the sideline, kind of maturing for a few years, that's over and done with. Yeah. We've seen Baker Mayfield and some of these other guys struggle with that. And now they're thrown into the mix that much sooner. So teams may want to, you know, kind of prepare themselves for that a little easier.
How about Baker Mayfield seeing another guy show up to the training camps and take all the snaps in front of him? That's beautiful. don't get me wrong. I love Baker Mayfield, okay? I was a big fan of him in college.
Yep.
The way he went about everything, walk on, Heisman Trophy, all that. The guy was amazing in college. We got to give him credit for that. But in the NFL, it just, his commercials have been better than his play. Let's be honest. I mean, let's be 100% honest. But
I think he's gotten a little bad rap. I'll just touch base on that. Dude has stepped into an organization that for the last 30 years is a career. I mean, they're just losers.
Graveyard.
I'm sorry. Like, just to be blunt, they're losers. Like, and not to mention he's had, what, 3-4 coaches?
Yeah.
Since he's gotten drafted and, like, 4 different offensive coordinators. So
it's going to be hard to get a fair shake as a quarterback in Cleveland. Yeah, it just is.
Like,
yeah.
Like, unfortunately, I don't know if he's ever going to be
able
to recover.
Why do we say Baker Mayfield? Yeah. No,
I don't know if he'll ever be able to recover from that. Yeah. Like, I think it could be too late, kind of like with Sam Darnold. Like, yeah. I think if he went in a better system and better coaches and stuff,
but
maybe he could develop.
I don't think it's strictly talent. I'm with you. I think he has shown that he may not ever be an elite guy. He can play and be a starter
exactly.
in the league.
Like, he's star caliber. And I think that maybe if he is in a better, like drafted a better system, better coach, more stability, then there's a chance that he could have been the elite guy that everyone thought that he could have been. But now it's a big what if. Yep. So I just want to say, I feel like he got a big rap, you know, a bad rap. That's not necessarily fair to him.
But. No, not at all.
Speaking of losers, Ben Simmons. No, I'm just kidding. obviously the NBA playoffs are in full swing. The Brooklyn Nets become the first team to be swept. They're basically chilling at home with the Lakers, having a FaceTime right now about our show, you know, because they see the hat, so they're excited. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, they're chilling at home on the couch right now. They're literally just watching the games just like we are. I got it up right here. Golden State just came back and beat Denver. So that's basically what they're doing. They're watching the games just like we are. You and I had this conversation earlier today. I know you were asleep, so that's why I didn't call you. Don't take it the wrong way. I don't want you to get butthurt. But but no, yes, the whole Ben Simmons situation with Brooklyn, it's interesting because there's been a lot of back and forth about should he play, should he not play, right? What's happening with him mentally? Is it a mental thing? Is it not? Is his back better? Isn't it? All that stuff, right? So I was reading an article on Bleacher Report. I really do like Bleacher Report because you and I were talking about that. We agree. Bleacher Report is really, really good when it comes to some of the articles they come out with and the sources and the things that they say. And they're not really bashing people, but they give out factual stuff and things that's actually being said, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The individual is Jake Fisher. I want to give him credit. I want to take anything away from anyone saying that I'm taking their stuff. But I wanted to read this little part in here, and then I wanted to get both of your thoughts, and then I'll give mine on this situation, right? So Ben Simmons' absence from the postseason has garnered the most glaring spotlight of all. Before the Celtics series began on Easter Sunday, league sources told Bleacher Report that the 25-year-old three-time All-Star and Nets personnel were confident he was on track to play as early as Game 3. Then his purported timeline became Game 4. This is until Sunday when Simmons informed Brooklyn staffers he was experiencing back soreness one day before Monday's fateful Game 4. And the loss, obviously. Simmons, in theory, could have risen Monday morning and determined his back felt good enough to play. There had been various people close to him encouraging him to retake the floor, even under limited minutes, to establish a deeper connection with teammates ahead of next season, sources said. By all accounts, his ailing back is not 100% healthy. We do know that. But few players in the NBA at this stage into the playoffs are free of any injury. And they're not 100% healthy. Now, members of his, this is where it gets interesting, and you and I talked about this, Brett. Mm-hmm. Members of his representation and others' close contacts even advised Simmons to at least sit on Brooklyn's bench in his uniform and teammate warmups rather than the gaudy outfits that became a spectacle. I'm going to let you go first because this is a guy that used to play on your team.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing
so
this.
So I want to know how you feel about this whole situation and how do you feel now, honestly, about Ben Simmons?
So with Ben Simmons, yeah, sorry, this is a touchy subject for me. I rooted for Ben Simmons for the longest time. But these shenanigans, and it started in Philly, and, you know, Philly fans were trying to tell all the Brooklyn Net fans that this was going to happen. He wasn't going to play for you. It was just going to be one thing after another. We, like, as a Philly fan, like, you try to give a guy the utmost respect and the clearance,
Let it out.
Yeah, the clearance to actually, like, get better.
Wait, Philly fans give respect? What are you talking about?
He's all like, what Philly fans are you talking about?
Okay. Well, I can tell you, we, with Markel Fultz, we let him play for as long as he could. Like, he
Y'all
tried.
Were patient with Fultz. I will give you that.
We were super patient
almost
with Fultz.
A fault.
We were patient
almost
with Simmons. Up until that Hawks series last season, like, we were very patient with Simmons. All we wanted from Simmons was for him to get a acceptable jump shot. Like, that's all. Like, and it wasn't even like we wanted him to be scoring very high. We just wanted him to take
So being a three-time All-Star and all that didn't mean anything? Okay, got it.
It's a problem when you're one of your best, your cornerstone players, you have to take them out of the fourth because the other
they're
team...
They're a liability.
Because they're a liability because the other team knows they can just foul him and he's not going to make any of the shots. And then now it's... It's beyond the mental toughness, right?
Yeah.
Because he can say he has a mental block. That's what triggered his back soreness, which is actually what he is claiming now.
Yeah.
You have Joel Embiid right now. Last year, through the Hawks series, he played through a torn meniscus. This year, he has a torn UCL in his shooting hand, and he is still trying to play his heart out.
Yeah.
So... It's unreal to me. I mean, you had Kobe making free throws on a torn Achilles. Yeah. Like,
and a messed up finger that he played for, like, finger. I don't know how many years.
You had Allen Iverson where you had to take his jersey away from him just for him to not play because he always thought he was okay to play.
Durant's calf came off his bone. He was out there. Yeah.
I will never forget that pop. Watching that on live television, it was like, oh my God.
He was out there. Yeah.
Crazy, bro.
That was wild.
But you have players that it's not even about toughness. It's not about mental toughness. It's just where is your love to play the game, Ben Simmons? Where is your passion? You have zero. And unfortunately, even at LSU, it was concerns coming into the NBA. Yep. You're like, hey, this guy might not love basketball as much as these other guys as much as you want him to.
Hey, Brett,
and
safe to say Ian doesn't like Ben. I'm just, you know, wild. Now, just throwing it out there.
And I get, and it's just his whole attitude, his whole demeanor. I mean, you have Drummond, you have Seth, you have KD, you have Kyrie. They're all fighting for their playoff lives, and this guy's looking like he's dressing up for the fashion show. I mean,
and that's what does it to me, especially with what has surfaced in the past few days. It's the lack of consistency. If the mental health issues are that prevalent, they are that strong, understandable. I mean, we talk about in the betting industry, you can't handicap emotion, and that's just the handicap side of things. You can't analyze it. You can't prognosticate it. If those issues are there, more power to him. We can't make those judgments. However, when you give you give us this by comparison, now we're wondering, especially with that surfacing, as you just mentioned, now we're wondering, is he good or is he not? And even if he isn't, it's a boy who cried wolf type of routine now. It has that type of effect. And now, by a result of it, you are diminishing the ongoing conversation about mental health surrounding professional sports to begin with. That's just one side of the coin. Yeah. The other side of the coin is how he actually directly affects the ball club.
Yeah.
And everyone thought once Harden was out and he came in, it would directly just benefit them more given the structural components. And if he's not even out there when he's being advised to at least dress, that to me is like, we talked about it, Jose, what do Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving do go moving forward as two guys who have never really had the full endorsement or, you know, the full collective support of someone who's a leader, of someone who's a, you know, the staple of the organization who wants to put the team on their back and win. Durant may be the best scorer, maybe the best to ever play his position ever. We saw what kind of help he needed to win the title. Kyrie Irving, as great as he was, it was still off of the LeBron, you know, the LeBron Hall, that 3-1 comeback.
Yep.
Both of them have to prove they can be a leader right now. And this Ben Simmons, everything doing that he's doing is holding them back. And as it's some kind of sick irony, them not taking him under their wing is making them look bad. So it's more combustible than we thought it would have been with Harden.
They have now three guys that have never once led their team.
So, and we'll talk about that basically. So, again, you said you and I had that conversation. The whole Ben Simmons thing, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's not just about Ben Simmons. It's about Kyrie. It's about KD. The next question is Kyrie going to get re-signed? Are they going to keep him? Is he going to be there moving forward? We know KD is there. We know what that is. That's not going to change whatsoever. KD's not going anywhere. We know James Harden took off because of the situational stuff that was going on.
Throwing one more wrench into there, you have to wonder, I love Steve Nash to death. If you have someone else at the helm with a bit more experience in this type of role, say what you want about Eric Spoelstra. Really good with dealing with egos. Say what you know, certain coaches, Greg Popovich, he's like erased all egos. And some of these other coaches don't handle it as well. Not saying he's one of them. It's just too early to tell. So now he's going to be under a magnifying glass. Everything by just simply not playing, instead wearing the glasses and the bright colors on the sideline, really kind of dislodged and disjointed everything this team already had, given the fact they were the favorites going into the, or like, you know, sleeper favorites going into the playoffs.
Now, when it comes back to Ben Simmons, though, a lot of people were, all I kept hearing was, he's got to come back. He's got to play. You got to get him out there. You got to get his feet wet. You got to get him to get acclimated with this team and all that, right?
Yeah.
But then you also have people that are saying that, but then also saying, well, the last time we saw him was in a situation where he broke down, mental breakdown, he couldn't handle the fan scrutiny, everything that was going on. So then you're telling me that bringing him in a do-or-die situation is going to be good for his mental health? Absolutely not. Bringing him in to play in this series, to me, was the worst thing that they could have done.
Yes, so if you're
gonna
they don't get off scot-free either.
Correct. Right. And if you're going to do it, you do it in game three. You don't do it in game four knowing you're down 3-0.
Yeah.
So the fact that people were still saying, oh, there's still a possibility we'll bring him back in game four. No, if you did not start him in game one of this series, he should not be playing. One, we don't know how good his back is. Two, we really don't know if his mental health is an issue or if he's just playing that card at this point, right? Mm-hmm. But with everything that's coming out, with the things that are being said, with his own people coming out saying, we told him to dress, but yet he's looking like, you said it, Willy Wonka on the sidelines.
He said, she said, you said, I said, all
it's
over.
It's absolutely ridiculous. To this point, this is what I got to say, and I said it to you earlier. This offseason is going to prove and cement KD and Kyrie's legacy, and this is how. They weren't the guy when they went somewhere. They had to go somewhere to be the guy to win that chip.
Yep.
KD needed Steph and everyone else or else he wouldn't have won it, even though he was the best player on that team.
Yep.
When it comes to Kyrie, he was not the best player in Cleveland. He was until LeBron came back home. Then LeBron was the best player. Did Kyrie make the shot? Did he help them win it? 100,000%. But he needed LeBron to win the chip. Yep. So now they are going to show if they can bring this guy, if they can take care of him and let him develop and make him understand, you don't have to be the guy. We're the guys that are going to bring it to you. And you're going to help us bring this chip to Philly, right? Oh, I'm sorry, to Brooklyn, which is what they want
to
do.
And one more point to that, too, because I don't care if Ben Simmons plays every waking minute of the game. I don't care if Ben Simmons never plays again. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant should never get swept in a playoff series in the first round. Yeah. Boston was a better team. Boston is structurally built more to compete and go a long way in the East. No doubt about it. We saw that in front of our eyes on the hardwood. There's no excuse to get swept.
And then here's the other storyline that we talked about as well. Think about this. Brooklyn was the third betting favorite going into the playoffs before the playoffs started when they still had a play-in game.
Yeah.
That's one. Them and the Lakers were, I think, top four or top five favorites to win it all before the season started. Both teams are hanging out at home watching this. Now, keep this in mind. We know the KD Kyrie situation again, like we talked about. We know the fuel that's going to be burning, and they're going to get ready to get back on the court and prove a point with Kyrie being able to come back 24/7 if he's there. We know the situation with the Lakers. How many of these guys are going to come back? How much is this roster going to be restructured and turned around? How much is LeBron going to be fueled by that and want to come back and prove a point? So we have storylines on each side, on the East and the West, which is amazing.
In the two biggest markets. As if it were volatile enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And back to your point with Nets real quick. I think the blame lies a little bit more with Ben Simmons because I don't think the Nets wanted to ever rush him into a situation, but he wasn't honest with them.
Yeah.
Because when they were sitting down back, you know, in April, back in March, you know, he was telling them basically like, I'm getting ready to play. Like I'm feeling good. And then all of a sudden he's like, nope. Back soreness.
And look, if
they gave him too much power to begin with, exactly. Almost.
And not only that, if anyone should know about coming back too early or playing when they shouldn't be or having an organization having him play or not take care of him, it's Kevin Durant.
Right.
So exactly. If anything, just off of 3 years ago, he should come to Ben Simmons' aid and help him out. Now, gentlemen, I don't want to cut anybody off, but we're cutting it short on time. We're getting to the end. I have a couple more things that I want to touch on, but it's not going to give us enough time to do so. So we're going to basically start closing it up. I'm sorry about that.
Well, we get a little to be continued action.
Correct. We'll get you back. Don't worry about that. We'll definitely get you back. But we got about 5 minutes left. But I got one more shout out that I got to give. And then I also got to talk about my final thought of the night as I do here, you know, every single Wednesday night. But guys, I appreciate both of you for being here tonight. Quan, appreciate you for doing what you do every single Wednesday night. Pops, happy 82nd birthday once again. Tomorrow he's in the studio joining us live from Miami. Appreciate that. Mom's in the studio as well. But fellas, let everyone know where they can find you guys on all things social media. Brett, since you're the guest, I'll let you go first, my man.
Yes, sir. Just catch me at Brett Lawson LV on all social media platforms. You could also catch me Saturday nights on the Go Live Vegas Digital Network. Similar in terms of just how it, you know, it's functioning to Gorilla Cross, all based out here, running out of a home studio. So you could catch me there. I co-host a show called Full Tilt with a gambling expert. He covers everything on the casino floor, the tables, the cards, machines. I cover things on the sports betting side of things. So follow my coverage there. And anything else, just check me out on Twitter, Brett Lawson LV.
There we go, my guy. Ian, what you got?
EnB_sports. Twitter, Instagram. I'm starting to try to work on it, but make sure you follow me at Twitter. Catch our feeds and make sure you subscribe to Straight Bet Sports and Gorilla Cross as well.
There we go. So don't put the music yet. We're not at that part yet.
I'm curious to see what the soundtrack's going to be. Last week, that threw me for a whirl. I was hyped.
That was Quan. That was Quan, man. Quan knows what's up. He puts it right at the right time. But I got to give a huge shout out to my 17-year-old daughter. She's graduating from Shadow Ridge High School. She had her award ceremony today. She also had her prom this last Saturday. And the one thing that I will say, she's not my blood daughter, so I'll throw that out there. I came into her life when she was 8, about to be 9 years old. And knowing my situation and everything that I went through with my previous marriage and how I didn't have the opportunity to actually raise my two kids and take them to school and do all that, she gave me that opportunity as a father once again to be able to do that. You know, I took her to elementary. I took her to middle school. I saw her through high school. I've seen her have her first full-time job now at Krispy Kreme, you know, bringing us donuts out of the house and all that. And I've just seen her grow. You know, I taught her how to drive, which is crazy. You know what I mean? And I just see the woman, the young woman that she's become, and it makes me so proud and so happy to call her my daughter, because I don't use the word step, because to me there is no step. She's my daughter. She is part of me, and she will always be a part of me. She's my little girl, and that's how I tell her all the time. But she got two awards today at school. One of them is you have to have a minimum weighted 4.0 grade average, which she got. She got one of those. It's called the Mustang Medallion Awards. And then the Advanced Honors Diploma, which you have to have for having advanced classes. Ooh. And a 3.25 or higher GPA, which she also got. And this was not everyone in the class or in her school. She also got that. So, Samantha, I love you. I'm so proud of you. You make me, your mom, and everyone in the family proud. Can't wait to see what you do moving forward. I know you want to go to college, and I know you don't want to do a lot more things. Baby, I love you, and I'm so proud of you. Keep doing what you're doing. And here's the crazy thing about it, gentlemen. She tells me all the time, I don't like school. So I ask her, but why do you have such good grades? Well, I still have to do what I have to do when I go, so why am I not going to do it?
That's a hell of a mentality.
So for
have.
Her to not like school and still get these honors, man, I'm honored, and that's just awesome. And not only that.
Imagine what she's going to do for stuff she actually does like.
Correct. Right. And not only that, big credit to my wife, because remember, my wife is the one that brought her into this world. My wife is the one that started raising her and did everything. So she got her ready, man, and she did all that. I was just a little bit a part of it, and I was able to jump in halfway through, man, and I'm grateful for that. But Samantha, congratulations, baby girl. I'm proud of you. Keep doing what you're doing, and don't stop, and don't ever let anybody tell you you can't, because you know you can, baby. I love you. With that being said, I am at my final thought of the night now. I don't have a song for you guys tonight because I know last week I said to part two to be continued, that we were going to bring it out, and we were going to write the lyrics. Now, the lyrics are actually still being written as we speak. I have an individual that is a rapper, a good friend of mine, and he's helping me come up with some fun lyrics that we can introduce to all you guys here. And
I love, we got a ghostwriter.
I love that Brett's over here enjoying this already, because it's about Brett, but not the Brett in the studio.
The air of mystery.
Right. Now, the one thing that I will say about you, Brett, if you guys know who I'm talking about, it's the one and only Brett Lashbrook, the owner of the most interesting team in the world, as he likes to call it, the Las Vegas Lights, a team that I love and I respect as an organization, because I have been following them and being a fan of them since day one, since 2017 when they started, and they've been out here. I've been a huge supporter and a huge fan. Take away the media aspect of it. I have been a fan of this team, always have, always will. That will not change. Until today, when I got some of the messages that I've got. So throughout the last couple weeks, I've been getting messages from supporters, from season ticket holders, Brett. And I mean, I have the text messages. There's nothing to lie about. There's nothing to hide or to basically sweep underneath the rug when it's all there in black and white and it's there in writing. Now, last Saturday, one of your sections of your supporter group, the Electric Company, was MIA. There was probably a few supporters there that I will give credit to, because I don't want to take that away from them. But you started harassing season ticket holders because they are voicing their opinions on what you are doing with the whole collaboration with LAFC and how you are running the Las Vegas Lights into the ground. No one cares about your clown show or your circus acts that you keep trying to bring out on the field. Just like the big colon that you have people walk through, you are also a big, I can't say it because I'll get in trouble, but it is what it is. For you to have security go harass people that have been season ticket holders since day one because they brought in a bag, but you know it wasn't because of a bag, it was because they're bagging on you on social media, then I'm sorry, man. I have now finally lost all respect for you as not only an owner, but as a human being. If you do not like your fans or the people that are putting money in your pockets, let it be known, but don't disrespect them and try to come up with fake things just to push them out of your way. That is horrible, Brett. I hope you wake up and I hope you figure out that Las Vegas needs better, and better is not you. Better is someone else other than you. Till then, I am Jose V for EMB Quan 59. Brett, in the studio. We greatly appreciate you guys. Till next week, we are out. Peace.
Later. It's not so bad. It's not so bad.